Morning, morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing? Got your cup of coffee?
Not yet.
I'm sorry, you have no one to deliver there. I mean, deliver it to you. I'll have to put something on Pooh Bear. So let me go ahead and pull this up. With the sound. In my glasses. So I kind of had a general idea of what I wanted to speak on and teach on this morning, kind of in light where we left off. And then as I was just getting ready, the word e pluribus unum popped in my head, which we have that on our dollar bill. And it's basically means out of many, one come one. And when you look at it from the standpoint of God created us individually, but ultimately that we would work together as one. And we're going to go through the verses that talk about the importance of that, because God has a plan and a purpose, and it's never individual. I mean, it's individualized per se. We have our own individual gifts, but it's usually in working together with somebody else to get across a message or do something that God's called you to do. So my vision's a little not so good today. So the first verse out of Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We were talking about this yesterday. When we think about that, God had this vision of what he wanted mankind to be like, and of course started with man, and then woman, and then of course from that multiplied as his intent. But ultimately, he wanted us to be like him, one in spirit, one in character. And ultimately, he's trying to get us to a point of humility, surrendering, so that he can do that from a spiritual component, and using our physical gifts, using some of our personality and different things that he can piece together, just a masterpiece of what he wants to do with our lives. And it all is kind of centered from Christ. Another verse is Psalm 133:1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. When we see in this world, and there's plenty of it, division or divisiveness, where there's conflict, that's typically works of the enemy trying to keep people from agreement. Because when you're in agreement, there's peace. And essentially, I'm going through, re-going through the book of Nehemiah, and talks about Nehemiah going to the community, to the city, to try to help rebuild the community. And he had to unite the people in order to do that. But there were forces that were trying to create division within it. It was interesting. They were building the wall while they were defending it. So they had swords in one hand while they were trying to build the wall. Another verse in John 17, 20 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in them, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And ultimately, I mean, this is the last prayer that Christ made in the garden. Ultimately, God wants us unified. And it's interesting because it's unity through our diversity. And the only way we can come together in that context is we respect, we appreciate, we love one another's gifts. We don't have an element of judgment in there, because that is by its nature very conflicting. Discernment, yes, because you want to make sure it's a good person and you're pairing up with that person the way it should be. And then Colossians, I never spell Colossians right. Colossians 3, 11 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Not for sin. These are parts of the fruits of the Spirit. And so it's basically when we clothe ourselves, we put on Christ. It's another verse we're going to go get to, but we are to have the mind of Christ. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And of all those virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And ultimately, God is the only, he's the only one that could, one, create us in our individual, unique way, but then figure out how we all come together, especially with all the different personalities and fears and all the stuff we deal with. But that's where the surrendering comes in. We surrender, he places us in our little spot we're supposed to be, working with the people we're supposed to work with. And when we have that, you have just a wonderful environment where productivity and things occur. So let me go ahead and we're gonna pray and then we're gonna go and have some songs. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day you've given us. I pray that you do great, mighty things, reveal yourself to us, help us to see the direction we are to go and to follow in it, follow you by faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first song was called, I don't know if I have it in the same order, but we're going to try. Let's see. Let's see. There you go. So we'll try that one first. Thank you for my patience.
I come before your throne. Every battle, every unknown. When darkness pressed so near to me, you spoke my name and set me free. The fear was loud, the night was long. But you became my battle song. The walls I built began to fall. Your mercy louder than them all. You know my thoughts before they rise. You see the tears behind. My heart. I'm yours once more. You know my name, my every need. You are the God who fights for me. Now every stronghold's gone, every wall undone, your victory stands, the war is won, no weapon formed will have its way, your power lives in me today. And I will stand in awe and peace, for you have won the war for me. My fortress fire, my victory, the God who fights for me. You fight for me. You fight for me.
Beautiful song. Thank God he does fight for us. There's no real order to the songs. It's just, and there's really no, there's somewhat of a randomness to the themes on the songs. I just felt really wanted to get into worship this morning. So I hope y'all, your life shows some good ones.
Dry bones living again. Sing.
Believe that's the song Amy and I heard this weekend at a marriage conference, and the singer, oh my gosh, blew us away. Just a very powerful song. And when I think about that, the concept of the great I am, it's really referencing when Moses was talking to God and said, who shall I say sent me, and tell them the great I am sent you. And there's so much power in what that means, because it's an ever present moment in all eternity. Yeah, and that's who God is. He's ever present in every moment, past, present, and future. And it's just powerful to think about what that means, and from a spiritual and a soul component, because our soul feeds off of that spirit. And so let's go into the next song. I think this is a good appropriate song for that.
Give it all for me. My soul deserves my everything. All I am is devoted to you. How could I fail to see? Rescue me. All I am.
I think I'm going to do a lesson called The One Thing. This book actually, it's called Make the One Thing the One Thing, I think it's called. And it's interesting. This particular song that I was singing, I was saying it's really kind of very central and very simple. When you keep the one thing, and God gave me the passage where Jesus is talking about one of the greatest commandments when he was asked, and he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, which is the one thing. Out of that forms the what I call the triangle of love, because as we learn to love God, he reveals and shows us how much we are loved by him, and we're able to love ourselves, and of course funnels from that love to other people that ultimately leads that love to God. And so that's the one thing. And when we really seek after God, I mean, we have such a passion desire to know him. The one thing he says, okay, I'm going to mold you into the person you're supposed to be. That's the surrender process. And in the difference of each of us, he brings us together, which is the unity process, which is just a beautiful thing. So the last song is, I can't remember what it's called, but it was in Red Rocks. Oh, I'm desperate for you.
And all my worship.
Worship songs. Oh, goodness. Let me get back to where it was. And show the outline. Where is it? Okay, cool. Says Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And it's interesting, these worship songs are playing, and really the key is, as I listened, is the desperation, the hunger, the desire to know God, because only He can complete us, per se, and make us whole. And once we understand who we are and whose we are and our identity in regards to how we feel about ourselves based on how God feels about ourselves, He then will give us what He's called us to do, which is our calling. And we have to line up our calling and the magnitude of our calling with our worth, because otherwise we won't go out and do the calling. That's why it's so important. We have the mind of Christ. We think about some of the verses that we talked about, that, think on those things that are holy, rich, pure, loving, kind. And when we have those kind of thoughts, we begin to see ourselves worthy to receive the amazing gift that God has for us. Matthew 15, 11 through 20. We've talked about this as well, especially last week. We talked about the seed, sowing of the seed, and it falls into the soil. The soul is illustration of our heart. And so there's different seeds, same seeds, but they did not all of them bear fruit. One was picked up by the enemy. The other one fell into thorny soil, and then the other one fell into the rocky soil. The first three did not produce any fruit. It was the one that fell into the heart, meditated upon it, and like Psalms 1, meditated upon thy word day and night, and once you, it'll be planted like a tree by the water, bear much fruit. Ultimately, that's God's desire. But there's also, which we shared last week, that the heart is the fertile ground, or the potential fertile ground. And it could be for bad seed or good seed. And this is where Jesus is talking, Matthew 15, 11 through 20. These people, and he's referring to the Pharisees, these people honor me with their lip, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And basically what ended up happening, the church that was passed on from the laws of Moses, Pharisees, Sadducees were the leaders of the church, basically communicating what was in the Old Testament. But they add on so many man-made rules. We see that today in a lot of churches, man-made rules or rituals that God never intended. And so the Pharisees were challenging Christ on this because they were, doing things. And he said, well, look into your own hearts. And this is what he's referring to. It says, Jesus called the crowd to them and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know what the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. Peter said, explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull, Jesus asked them, that you don't see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the thing that comes out of the person's mouth comes from the heart. These defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed heart hands does not defile them. So basically, Christ is basically talking about what comes out of us is already in there. And so part of the ability to change and transform, you see it in Matthew, I'm sorry, you see it in Romans chapter 12, where Paul is saying, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he basically says, then you renew your mind, because it is the mind that led up to the sin, because the mind then focused on that and then fell into temptation and the disobedience. And so when we understand it is the transformation process as we renew our mind with God's word, that thinking, then basically the seed that falls into the good soil will bear much fruit. And if we have the mind of Christ, i.e., we're thinking on those things that are kind, loving, and good, then it will transform our character, because ultimately God, in another verse says, I want to replace the stony heart. That if you look at it from the parable standpoint, no seed was able to go into the soil because it was rocky and stony. And so God wants to replace that stony heart with a heart of flesh, i.e., the where the seed fell into the good soil. And so Matthew 12, 33 through 37 says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. Where a tree is recognized by its fruit, you brought a vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account of the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Once again, Jesus is basically talking about the good versus the evil, which goes right back into the garden. God gave us a choice, and Adam and Eve a choice. We all pretty much have the same choice. Are you going to choose me? Are you going to choose God, righteousness, or are you going to choose evil? It's a choice we make each and every day. And God, Christ is basically saying is, if you're going to choose good, then you're going to have a good heart. And out of what flows out of your mouth is going to be kind words. If you're not going to choose me or choose good or righteousness, you're making another choice, and that choice is going to be manifested in gossip, slander, immorality, the things that the disciple is talking about here. I want to get into this in the last few minutes I have here. We kind of touched on this. Ultimately, God wants us to get to a point of complete surrender to Him so that He can mold us, make us into what He created us to be. The surrendering process is His ability to mold us. Of course, He's crafting us, or the Holy Spirit's crafting us based on the image character of Christ. And for ultimately that we would then fit, work together with other people, which is where that continued surrender process comes in. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. So this is one of those powerhouse verses, because it really gives us a kind of a glimpse that we have very imaginative, very creative, and we can dream pretty big. Well, God has much bigger dreams for us. And so He basically said, don't limit yourself. Trust me, and I will make sure that I'm there to deliver the things that I feel you need and can have. Where I left up here. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has truly given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. A person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to
Freeze on
merely.
your end, on y'all's end.
He's frozen on mine as well.
Huh? Am I frozen?
Yes, but we seem to have you back.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, hopefully we'll stay for a little bit. I don't know where I left off here. So the person with the
If you
spirit
can
does
hear
not.
us, we cannot hear you, Paul.
Let me go off camera here. Can you hear me now?
I can. Yes.
Okay. Maybe if I stay right there. Okay, well, it is the last. I don't know if it's the internet here. So the person without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the spirit, through this spirit. The person with the spirit makes judgment of all things, but such a spirit person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And what's so important is that when we take on, there was another verse we read about clothing ourselves with the character of Christ. When we clothe ourselves and we put on the helmet of salvation, we're taking in God's word, which is why in Romans chapter 12 it talks about renewing your mind. In order to have the mind of Christ, we have to renew our mind. In order to have the mind of Christ, we have to have God's word, Christ's word, because he is the word in our mind. That's how we have the mind of Christ. That's how we're able to discern the spirits. That's how we're able to hear God. A lot of people say, I've never heard God. Well, you've got to make sure you're near him. You've got to make sure that you're listening to the language, per se, his scripture, so that the Holy Spirit can openly communicate with you in the way that he does, in the way that you will listen. And ultimately, that God's desire, because he's trying to get us to be obedient. Let me read this last passage here out of 1 Corinthians, and it talks about that each and every one of us is different. We're given certain gifts from the Holy Spirit to be able to do what God has called us to do within the body. And it's a beautiful picture because each and every one of us is unique, and we form and serve a purpose within the body, so that we can all work together as one to ultimately reveal who God is. And that's how God's plan is. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31 says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but not all its parts, all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. Excuse me, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the body in the parts, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the hands, feet, I don't need you. Where was here? On the contrary, those parts of body that seem be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special attention, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are in the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, teachers, and miracles, gifts of healing. These are the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And I think it's amazing when I think about each and every one of us plays a special part. And because I've always been intrigued, why did God n didn't not create two of the same people? And so in the uniqueness, one, it gives us a sense of worth. We don't need to compare ourselves to anybody because there's nobody like me or you. which makes us very special. And then you couple that with, okay, I'm unique, I'm special, I'm worthy because God created me. I don't quite know exactly what I'm created to do, but as I draw closer to God, He reveals it, which then increases my sense of worth and my sense of confidence and my ability to do and recognize the things God's called me to do. What I'm then supposed to do is partner, couple with others who basically do what they do and what I do together to create an amazing gift, which is called the body. The body functions as we are one, which is why Christ said, Father, I pray that they would be as one. And when we can do that, and that's why surrender and humility, the character of Christ, those things are manifested in behaviors that warrant connection, that warrant relationship. But when you see the enemy in using gossip or slander or criticism or just out and out lies, you know that is of the enemy trying to create division. God is trying to bring unity. Unity comes as we speak like Christ and we act like Christ. And we bring people together because people generally are wanting to do that. But we've got to have, as said earlier, we've got to have a discerning mind to recognize who we need to be with. So I'm going to go ahead and cut it short because I've got to get ready for another meeting. I'm going to go ahead and close with prayer. Jesus, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to share for your word. Lord, we just pray that we can't do this. It's only with the power of your spirit for us to be able to do the things you've called us to do. I pray that we would be willing. I pray that you would just impact our lives for good and that we would just continue to speak your name wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.